just thank the Lord for his beautiful presence here today. I have just been amazed at the glory of God, and I'm so grateful when you come expecting, and when we open up our services to the Lord and invite him, he is going to be here. Not only is he in your heart, but then he comes in a corporate anointing and in a corporate way to minister to each and every heart. And I just feel with all my heart, he's just poured himself out today. And you know, the blessings of the Lord are received by faith. And that's how we drink them in and apply them to our lives. And so I just take in everything the Lord has given me today and so grateful. We were going to talk today about the blessed hope, the hope that we have in Christ. What is the blessed hope? We don't hear it a lot. We live in a self-centered time when we live from day to day and we have so many concerns. There's lots going on. Our minds are affected in many ways. So we're hearing it from Twitter and we're getting it from television and we're getting it from Facebook, all of these things about life. We're dealing with life in our daily lives, in our jobs and in our families and in our homes and in situations in school, college, wherever you're at, maybe newly married, maybe been married for 50 years, we're dealing with lots of situations on a daily basis, and there's lots of transition. So people are moving from place to place to place, and they're having to get settled and resettled, and that's a lot. It's a lot for people to deal with. And so we don't really hear a lot anymore, any teachings on the blessed hope. That's kind of an old term to say Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Regardless of what's going on in our life, the Lord is returning. The Lord is coming back. And there's something about knowing that, and there's something about understanding that that's a reality. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a storybook that we read at our children at nighttime. The Lord is returning. And in knowing that he's returning, it just changes the way we view the world. It changes the way we deal with our everyday situations of life. It changes the way that we live. We are looking for the Son of God to return. We're looking for him. We're looking for him. The Bible says that in Titus 2, 12 and 13 says that the grace of God teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we know that the blessed hope is the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the returning of the Son of God. Now go to Acts. You're going to go to Acts 1. You're going to go to Acts 1. What is that blessed hope? It is the returning of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the time when those who have loved Jesus, committed their lives to Jesus, believed that he is the atoning sacrifice for their sins, that he has washed them clean, as we talked about this morning, redeeming them out of sinful life and being born again into a new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of God now governs our life. He leads us, he guides us, he speaks to us. We have an open door through Christ Jesus to be able to come into the presence of the Father. We have the ability to be able to approach him, to be able to talk to him, to be able to have relationship with him and communion with him because of what Christ has done. And this is that blessed hope, this time when we also are expecting, we're expecting Christ to return. We know that these bodies, the bodies of those that have died will be raised to be joined with their souls. And then the bodies of those believers still living in the earth will be changed into a body like the Lord's resurrected body. The believers raised from the dead, and the believers living at Christ's return will meet the Lord in the air and be taken to heaven. And I am excited about that. I'm looking forward to the day when the Lord returns. You say, but I still have plans. I still have stuff I want to do. I'm young. I want to get married. I want to have children. I want the job of my dreams. I want to see all these things fulfilled. I want to, you know, so I'm not too interested in Christ returning. Well, that's because you don't understand that there is glory beyond this place. There is glory beyond this place. To understand and to know that he's going to return is wonderful and glorious. And a lot of people don't teach about heaven and they don't teach about the return of Christ when they love this world. When you're in love with this world, you don't want to hear about him coming back. When you're in love with this world, you don't want to know anything about Christ's return. But it's simply because sometimes we neglect to teach about the splendor of heaven. Or maybe our relationship with God is not deep enough. Maybe we don't know Christ intimately and personally as we should, because when you know him intimately and personally and you spend a lot of time with him, you realize that his return is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to this world. Now, to those who are unbelievers and to those who are away from Christ, it's the most terrifying thing that could ever happen. They've spent their time on the earth, century after century after century, saying, he's not the Christ. He's not the Son of God. What he did had no bearing or impact on our lives or on history. Why, even history itself proves that Christ has changed the world. Christ and a few followers, God taking the form of humanity, coming to the earth, living a sinless life, dying on the cross for our sins, paying the price that we couldn't pay so that we could know God and have a relationship with the Father. Maybe that is terrifying to them because they don't know him. And I'll tell you what it does for me. I want to know him better. I want to know him more. I want him to know him more intimately. The blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ, is a joy and a refreshing and an excitement to the church. It causes us to be aroused in our spirit. It causes us to realize that we have people around us who are not saved. It moves us into evangelistic mode. It says, wait a minute. If the Lord comes back today, my brother isn't ready, my father isn't ready, my sister isn't ready, my neighbor down the street isn't ready, my boss isn't ready, I don't know that my children are ready. Though knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return stimulates your mind and your heart and says this, pray and evangelize because the Lord is coming back and they may be lost. It's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is the heart of every evangelist. It's the whole purpose that they minister. He's coming back. Are you saved? He's coming back. Are you ready? He's coming back. Are you prepared? Have you been washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus? Have your sins been removed? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Every eye will see him. Those in the earth will mourn. Why will they mourn? Because when the tree falls, that's where it lies. And when a soul, when time is no more and when we're finished here, there's no more opportunity to change the decision that has been made. Oh, so powerful. The blessed hope, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back and I'm anticipating him. In fact, I feel that all the prayer that is happening right now in the region and across the nation and around the world, I feel that that prayer and that yearning and that longing, that awareness of sin in our nations, that awareness of tyrants and decisions that have been made and the sin that's all around us and so prevalent is forcing the church on its knees. And because it's forcing them on their knees to pray, don't you think that God is going to respond? He's going to respond. The groanings and the achings of even creation itself, Paul said, is longing for its redemption. It's wanting that curse to be completely broken. It is broken in Christ, but there are still things in this earth that are happening. We die here, but there will be a day when we will never die again. There are thorns here mixed with roses, but nonetheless, there are still thorns. There's tears here. There's no tears there. There's sorrow and burdens here and a heaviness that goes with this world. And when you listen to it all the time, you can feel it. You start carrying it in yourself and it starts putting this heavy weight on you. But when you understand that the Lord is coming again and you know that there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, on the other side, it gives you hope. That's why it's called the Blessed Hope. When my husband and I would go out of town, we still do this, even with our older children, but especially when they were younger. We would say, okay, we're going to go out of town. Now, when I come back, make sure that the dogs and the cats get fed. Make sure that the house is clean. Make sure that there's no dishes in the sink and that the floors have been swept. Make sure that you make your beds. And that you've got everything in order. Because mama don't want to come back to a messed up house. I get some nods out there on that. Let me just say that the children would not always do that. In fact, Raymond, they would call, hey, what time are you going to be home? And why would they do that? Because they're like, if she shows up at a time when I'm not ready, mama's going to be mad. And I'm going to have to bear the wrath of mama on the house. And it's not going to be pretty because she's going to come in this house and she's going to be pulling out that sweeper and she's going to be saying, why didn't you do the things that I told you to do and you were supposed to do it? And all this. Let me just tell you that this is a perfect example of how Christ is going to return. The signs are there. The time, the signs of the time, they're all there. But let me just say, you won't be able to dial up Father and say, hey, by the way, are you coming today? Are you sending your son? Because the Bible says that you won't know the day or the hour when the Lord returns. Only the Father which is in heaven, and then he's coming. And that's why you have to be prepared every day. Not just the days when you think he might show up. It makes you live differently. It makes you live differently. The Lord's coming back. It's our promise. It's the promise we received in Acts 1. In Acts 1, he says this. Find it. In Acts 1, he says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying these things, he was taken up in a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they were straining to see him rising into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return. They did not say he might return. They did not say he's thinking about coming back. They said he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Revelations 1 and 7 says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes and amen. Listen, when heaven says yes and amen, it's yes and amen. The ones, can you imagine being the one who pounded the nails into Jesus' hands and who took the spear and stuck it up there into his side, and they're going to see him? Oh my goodness. And the ones that pierced him will see him coming. There's going to be mourning for the unbelievers who have rejected Christ. For those who turn their backs on the one who gave their life, his life for them. It's going to be a day. It's going to be a day when we see the King, when we see him coming in all of his glory, in all of his power, in all of his splendor. It reminds me, I pulled up several of the hymns because there was a time when we talked a lot about the Lord coming back. In fact, it kind of positioned us to evangelize and position us to prepare ourselves on a daily basis. It brought an awareness to us that the Lord's coming back. He said, there's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. Do y'all remember this? It may be evening, morning, or at noon, the wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. You right? We shall see the King. Yeah. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Amen. Hallelujah. In Matthew 24, verses 30. Let's start at verse 30. And then at last, the sign of the Son of Man is coming. It will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Wow. There isn't a single person that's going to be forgotten who's a believer in Christ. There's not a baby that was aborted that's not going to see the King. There's not a repentant soul in a prison or in a hospital bed who gave their life to the Lord who isn't going to see the King. That's the beauty of the hope we have. This hope is not a hope like the world hopes. Oh, we hope that all works out and it'll be okay. It's not like that. It's an expectancy. It's an amen, he's coming. It's this is going to happen, so get excited for those who are in Christ. Hallelujah, the Lord is coming, the Lord is returning. He goes on to say in verses 36, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, but only the Father knows. And when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time that Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other one left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what the day of the Lord, when it's coming. Understand this, that if a homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, God's using parables and illustrations. Christ is using them here. He would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready at all times, for the Son of Man will come when you least expected. On those days I showed up a little early coming home, it was rough. Because you do want your house clean. Because you do want things in order. Because you don't want to be caught doing something you shouldn't be doing. That's the beauty of expectancy and His promise that He's returning. It keeps us in a place where we want to keep it clean. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, when Daddy comes, we don't want to have any things in us. When Mama comes home and she told us to do our chores and do what we needed to do, we don't want to find anything in our lives that we shouldn't be doing. How many remember this? The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no more debate. Work on earth has been suspended. As the King comes through the gate, oh, the King is coming. Sing it with me. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. What a day. We had all these Left Behind series that were coming out at the time. And I'll hear preachers a lot of the time say, oh, we were taught that the Lord was coming back. And we heard that. And that's been years and years ago. And, you know, maybe we should just get on with practical application and just learn how to live in this world. Well, you need to know how to live in the world. We're not taking that away. We need to live godly lives. We need to live lives that are full. We need to, he said multiply. He said produce. He said, I've given you talents inside of you. I've given you abilities that you're called to use for the Lord. Use them. We know that that's true. But there's also an awareness of the Lord's coming that needs to be taught. I want to go to Peter. This is coming up in my heart. He said in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, this is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days that scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of His command, and He brought the earth out from water and surrounded it with water. Then He used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything that is on it will be found to be deserving of judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should we live, looking forward and towards the day of the Lord God and hurrying it along? On that day, He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. He has promised a world filled with God's righteousness. Can you even fathom it? No more sin there. No more thieves to break in and steal. No more hurting of your heart. No more carrying around those scars and wounds. No more lying, deceiving, stealing, and cheating. No more betrayal. The King is coming. The King is coming. He says, knowing that God is coming, knowing that the elements will melt away. Notice how Jesus and Peter pull Noah out from the book of Genesis and says, just like then, it's going to be the same. They were getting married. They were having children. They were partying. They was getting drunk. They was living their lives. They was going to work. They was just living everyday life, everyday life. Even though He had warned them for over 120 years, He carried that burden. The Lord is going to judge. The Lord is going to judge sin. The Lord is going to deal with sin. The Lord is going to deal with it. Come into the ark. Come into the ark. The sky, it grows dark. There's a storm called God's great judgment day. In His fierce, angry rage, in the ark you'll be safe. Come in to the ark today. That ark is Jesus. That ark is Christ. Everything in the Old Testament is a revelation of Jesus concealed, hidden, made known. Why is He pulling it out in the New Testament? Because Jesus is the ark. He's saying, life is going to keep going. You're going to keep seeing people do the things that they were here on the earth doing, marrying, doing all of these things, going to their job. But will you be ready when the trumpet blasts? Will you be ready? Do you have your garments washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you believe that Jesus is the only entrance into the eternal kingdom? Or have you believed other religions will get you there? He said, I'm the door, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. There are no other doors. There was one door on the ark, and the Lord God Almighty shut the door when they came in. That door is Jesus. On that day, we'll be changed. We'll be changed in the glory and in the splendor. Just we'll have a new body like Jesus was resurrected and He had a glorified body. The same body that He had, maybe the same feeling that He had when He was with His Father, now glorified in the body of Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:23. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised at the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back. After that, the end will come. Listen to this. This is so powerful. We hardly ever read this scripture. Listen to this. After that, the end will come when He, speaking of Christ, will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scripture says, God has put all things under his feet. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. That's powerful. I don't think I've ever heard it read in a service. Even Christ himself will submit himself to the authority and the power of God the Father. In that time when his enemies are subdued and Christ has humbled them, there is a kingdom. It's not of this world. We keep thinking it's of this world. It's not. That's why the old hymns would talk about, I'm just a pilgrim stranger as I journey through this land. I'm a citizen of heaven. Is this road you're traveling dark, deserted, or dim? Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in him. On this glory road I'm traveling. Many times I've stumbled on my way. But praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving to a land of perfect peace and endless day. Oh, my goodness, you're just a pilgrim here. Make the difference you can make, the best you can through the power of God, because you will be standing before him. He will not hold you accountable for other people's gifts and talents. He will hold you accountable for your life and how you lived it. I will not stand for Lana. She will stand for herself. I can't stand for my children. They will stand for themselves. But you will stand before the king, bow or be humbled. It's going to happen, for the word of the Lord says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's coming. He's coming. What kind of bodies will we have? Glorified bodies. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it first dies. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that it will grow. I have these little bean seeds. When I put this, look at that. I don't know if you can see that. I put a bean into the ground, a hard little bean. I took a seed. That's your life. This is your life. One day, we're all going to die. Unless the Lord returns and you're alive when he remains, when he comes. Your body is going to be put in the earth. Your soul is with the Lord. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord, but your body is going to go into the ground. When the trumpet blasts, when the dead in Christ shall rise, woo! Your body is going to rise. The seed put into the ground is not the same as the glorified body that will arise. Look already, I put that bean into the ground when I was at the nursing home, and it's already sprouted. It doesn't look anything like this seed. Some of you are weak and frail and sick and feeble. There are people that will be watching me on Facebook, and your bodies, your knees are blown out. Your body is in failing condition. Your heart, your blood pressure, your diabetes, you haven't been healed. You've been believing for it. I'll believe with you. But if it doesn't happen, eventually everyone is going to pass. I'm going to pass. I'm going to be sown into the ground. But I'll tell you this. At the trumpet blast of God, at the sound of an archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah. And the body that was sown in defeat, the body that was sown is going to rise. It's going to come up. It's going to be a new creation. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what I'm looking forward to, people. I'll make all the difference I can while I'm in this earth. I'll do everything I can to love God and to know God and to seek God and to help people. I'll pour out my life like water for the people of God. I'll do what He tells me to do sometimes even when I don't want to because I love my God. But there's a day coming when He's going to return. I'm going to stand before the Almighty. I'm going to give an account for my life. I'm going to give an account for my life. And I want to hear Him say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. I know they laughed at you. They hurt you. They wounded you. They mocked you. They broke your heart. But on that day, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and you held fast to your God in the midst of all of that trouble, you held on to Him, you wouldn't let go. You knew that He is saving grace. He's the only way. You held on through the storm, and now you're face to face with the King. Everyone will be there. Everyone. We'll have a new body. We'll have a new life. On that resurrection morning, when all the dead and Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home in glory, eternal, where the redeemed of God shall stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more strife. You're going to have a glorified body. It's going to be changed. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Are you living for that day? That's where the key is in victorious living. That's the key. That's what expecting the Lord does. It changes the way we think, the way we live, how we respond to situations in our life. There's a fear of the Lord that comes, and then a glorious anticipation, waiting to see Him and worship Him, and knowing also that we'll give an account. It is the fear of the Lord and the grace of God mingled together that create a tension at times. That's necessary to be able to make right decisions now, before we get there. He says this, I tell you this directly from the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, I will tell you this, we who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet Him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. It's a small word, significant. Your life is like this. Eternity has no end. The things that have oppressed or discouraged are this. Eternity. Forever. Forever. We sang this at the nursing home. Some bright morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Sing it with me. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready to see the Lord? Are we ready to bow before the King? I don't think I can stand. Remember the song, I Can Only Imagine? Remember how it went across the world? In different languages it was being sung. Surrounded by His glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance before you, Jesus? Will I be in all of you? Will I bow? What will happen in that moment when we see God? That was the thought of every person listening to that song. It made them live. Who knows how many people came to Christ because of that song? And then this past year or last year was the movie, I Can Only Imagine. God taking a hard and crusty seed and bringing it into new life. We're going to stand before the King. What a glorious thought for all of those who are in Jesus. What a wonderful day of celebration. Your God is a God of celebration. He always has been. He celebrates your victories. He celebrates triumphs. He said when He died and ascended, He led a vanquished host. He's a celebrating God. He has a celebration waiting for us on the other side. What a glad thought, some wonderful morning. When I hear Gabriel's trumpet sound, when I wake up to sleep no more, rising to meet my blessed Redeemer. With a shout I'll leave the ground. When I wake up to sleep no more. Do you see how we have somehow over the last few years and maybe even over a century have lost the value of the return of Christ? We're so caught up in our world. We don't think about the one to come. And yet everything we do here is preparing us for it. Or not. I want to be where the Lord is. In closing, let's go to Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. That's what we've read previously in another scripture. So they always compare your scripture upon scripture. They'll always complement one another or give understanding. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to them, write, for these words are blessed and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually impure, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How terrifying! And how wonderful for those who are in Christ. How terrifying for the unbelieving. How terrifying for the lost. Evangelist! This is the hour for you. This is the hour for you. He's coming. And everyone will see him. Do you have concerns for today? Are you worried? Are you afraid about your life? Do you have burdens that you feel like you can't carry, things that are going on that you can't handle? God is here. He will help you with all of those things, but keep this in mind. At some point, the trumpet's blowing and the Lord is returning. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God saves from the cleansing rod. Seek the way that pilgrims trod. Christians, awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Ah. Why aren't we looking for him? He's coming. He's coming. Let's stand to our feet. I know that in a room full of people, this word challenges our hearts. It challenges mine. I'm just like you. Every day I have situations in my life, and I make choices in those situations. Life is about choices, and the choices that we make will affect our lives and the lives of other people, and it will affect our eternal destination. I am terrified for people that I love that may leave this world without Jesus. Jesus did not shy back from teaching about eternal damnation. He did not hold back from teaching about hell or rejecting the Son of God that would ultimately cost you not only your life here, but the one to come. But as we read in Peter, he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants all to come to the saving knowledge that is found in Jesus Christ, the Lord, who gave his life and made atonement had to be a sacrifice for our sins. There had to be a sacrifice. Animals would do for a while, but everything from the very beginning, before even the foundation of the world, he was a lamb that was slain. Everything was preparing for Christ to return. I pray right now that every person's eyes will be open. You have been blinded by this world. You have been blinded by education that is contrary to God's heart. You are not aware of the teachings of the scriptures. You do not know them. But today, you have heard the truth. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He was the Lamb. God mingled with flesh, creating a sacrifice and a covenant that if accepted could never be broken, and if rejected would be damned. We don't like to hear it, but shame on us preachers if we don't tell the truth, because we will stand before God and give an account for what we taught. Just because people don't want to be offended by the truth doesn't mean that it shouldn't be taught. I pray that those who are listening and hearing this, not only in this place, but wherever it goes, on radio and Facebook, that you are taking an inventory. That just like when my kids knew I was coming home, the floors got swept and the house got clean and the dishes got done, look at the inventory inside. He gave you a purpose. He gave you your life to live. Are you making a difference eternally in the hearts and the lives of other people? Are you making an eternal difference? Do you tell them about the Lord? Are you a witness by the way that you live your life? When your speech and your conversation comes out of your mouth, is it what is pleasing? Does it testify of Jesus? Does your life testify of Jesus without any words at all? He's coming. Every eye will behold him. Every knee will bow before him. Oh God, the God of heaven and earth and beneath, the God who knows every human heart, may you save souls today. May those that are listening come to you. May they accept the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. May they receive him as their Lord and Savior. May they be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. May they live their life unto God and to demonstrate his goodness in the earth until you come. And may we be ready. May we be prepared. May we be looking. One eye open, the other one asleep. Preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the lost. Pray for your loved ones. Be a witness. Be a light. Be salt. Do not shy away from witnessing in this hour. Are you backslidden? Have you walked away from God? Do you love the world more than you love Jesus? Do you love your material possessions? For the seed of God is sown, but some become entangled in thorns. That represents the love of this world and this present hour. Are you so in love with this world that you can't imagine how heaven is and how wonderful it is? Are you so in love with your things that you cannot part them? You think everything that shall ever be is this life? No. Eternity is forever. You walked away from God in a difficult time. You turned away from the Master. You didn't understand why these things were happening. Peter, he didn't understand. Even though he was warned, even though he knew about everything that was going to happen to Jesus, he still, in that final hour, he got weak. He turned away. There were two that turned away. One repented and came back. One said, I'm sorry. He said, will you feed my sheep? Will you feed my sheep? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Even though you didn't understand, even though you were confused in your pain and your situation, Peter, will you do the will of God? Because you love me. The other being Judas. He didn't repent, he simply had remorse. I've betrayed an innocent man, destined to perdition. He hangs himself and dies, and his soul goes in to eternity. Where are you today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anyone here today and you say, I am Peter, I'm like Peter, I've walked away from the Lord and I need to come back to my God. I didn't understand things that were happening. I didn't connect all the dots. I was confused. I'm needing to return to the Lord. I'm aware that he's coming and I don't want to be caught outside of the ark of safety, outside of Christ Jesus the Lord. Maybe that's you and you're just going to raise your hand up and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my iniquities. Wash me clean in your son's blood. Remove this guilt. I'm sorry, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Give me newness of life. I want to be ready when you come. If that's you, just raise your hand up high and just say, that's me. He will do what he promised. He will forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. He will give you hope and change your life. Maybe you don't know the Lord at all. You're listening to this on the radio. You're driving in the car. You accidentally turn to this channel. Now you're apprehended by the Holy Spirit. And he's asking you the question, are you ready for the return of Christ Jesus the Lord? Your heart pounding. This may be your final chance. For none of us knows what tomorrow holds. What tomorrow holds. The Lord is faithful to keep calling. He will keep calling. He will keep knocking. He will keep knocking. He will keep calling. But then one day, it's going to be done. And the decision that you've made will impact you for all eternity. Come to the Lord today. Confess your sins and your need for a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. Let his blood cleanse you. Let him wash you. Let him make you whole. Let him write your name in the book of life. For even Jesus himself said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. I pray that all hearts and minds are clear and that you're ready for the return of the Lord. And I pray that anyone listening, they have accepted Christ as their Savior. And this word has stirred your heart. May you be blessed. May the Lord be with you. May you evangelize. May you minister. May you fulfill the purpose to which you were created and destined to fulfill in this time. In Jesus' name. God bless you.